is good, isn't he? Wasn't that good preaching?
I mean, that was preaching. That wasn't a sermonette for a Christianette. They go outside and suck the cigarette and get in the Corvette and go down to the laundrette and have a fit. Amen. I was telling about Brother Tommy the other night. They said you was going to be here. And asked me if I'd ever heard him preach. I said, I've heard him preach several times. You preached down at, we was together down at Brother James Jones's in Walterboro, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Is that when you preached that message on Let's Go Shopping? You had that shopping cart. He filled it up that night too, say amen. That was great. That was good. And I've heard you preach a time or two down at Brother Ronnie Simpson's in Concord, North Carolina. Always preaches the word of God, don't he? Gives you something good to help you, to carry home with you. Brother Don, I'm glad you made it back, brother.
Amen.
You got a smile on your face. That's a blessing. You must have heard some good news. The good news is that God knows about the bad news, and he makes the bad news good news.
That's right.
Sometimes the bad news don't as bad when Jesus gets a hold of it.
Yes.
Amen. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed preaching this week and enjoyed being here. And on Monday night, I preach out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Tuesday night, I preach out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Wednesday night, I preach out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And tonight, I want to preach on 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And if you are physically able, I want you to stand. It's got, this chapter's got 17 verses or 18 verses in it. And it ends with these words: wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Verse number 1, I'm going to read verse 1 down through verse number 12. And these 12 verses points us up to verse number 13 concerning the rapture of the church. And Paul said this in chapter number 4. He talks about the model walk and the believer's hope. And he said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. Now that word please, you remember, means to satisfy. And so we ought to walk to satisfy the Lord. And the Bible said this, so ye would abound more and more. Now you'll find those two words again and found in another verse. We'll read them in just a moment. In verse number 10. But it sounds to me like it's kind of like Elisha wanting a double portion from Elijah. And so the Bible said, for you know what commandments we give or gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. He said, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. I remember when I did not know God, but I remember when I did know God, when I got acquainted with him, June the 28th, 1970, 45 years plus. Isn't that a blessing from the Lord? Amen. So he said here in verse number 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. And the Bible said, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We know that when we were sinners, we were unclean, and God cleansed us and put the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Look at verse number 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. And that word despiseth there means rejecteth. And so the Bible says he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In John chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. Now, when the preacher gets up to preach or you testify to somebody and they reject it, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God, and God is speaking through you. And so he said this, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, those that are without Christ, and that you may have lack of nothing. And I told you last night that word lack there is found also in verse number 10 of chapter number 3, where Paul said, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And the word lack means something still needed. And so we still need God to work on us, and he works on us every day of our life, and we still need God's filling with the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Now let us pray. Our Father, we bow again in Jesus' name. We thank you for the good day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. We thank you, dear God, for the songs of Zion that's been sung, the good fellowship. We thank you for the good word of God that's been preached tonight by the man of God. And I pray, Lord, you'd continue, God, to bless him and give him many souls for his labor. And then, Lord, we thank you, Brother Donnie. I'm so glad, God, that he made it to the house of the Lord tonight. And I do pray for him, Lord, that you would touch him and heal his body according to your blessed, holy, and righteous will. Then we pray for Brother James, Lord, moderated the meeting. I pray you bless him continually. I pray you bless every individual here in the house of the Lord tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach the word of God. I pray the word of God, I know it will not return unto thee void. And I pray, Lord, you'd capture our attention tonight and help us as we preach thy blessed word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to preach on the subject of walking to please God. Walking to please God. Walking to satisfy God. Do you really know a lot of people that's walking to satisfy God? We got too many people that's walking to satisfy themselves and to satisfy others. But the Bible tells us here in verse number 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Yeah. Now you can walk to please the Lord. If we could not walk to please the Lord, then God would not have told us to walk to please him. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 5, the Bible said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yes. Now turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis, the 5th book in the Bible, written by Moses. And notice what the Bible has to say. Or in the book of Genesis is the first book, my friend, in the Bible. And of course, Moses wrote the first 5 books in the Bible. But look, if you will, in chapter number 5. And let's look what the Bible has to say concerning Enoch. And the Bible said in verse number 21 of Genesis chapter 5, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And in verse number 23, the Bible said, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now, I believe there's three ways that God wants you and I that are saved by the grace of God to walk for him until we go by the way of death or till we go by the way of the rapture. And for you and I that are saved, either one will be all right. Yeah. We're a winner either way. Isn't that a blessing to know that? But first of all, and I want you to look, if you will, I believe, my friend, that we can please God by walking in honor. Walking in honor. Look at that word honor, if you will, please, in verse number 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, hey, listen, we can be a blessing, we can walk and honor the Lord, or we can dishonor our vessel. I read these two verses last night or Tuesday night. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19. God will never tell us to do something and then not give us the grace of God to do it. Anything that God asks us to do, he'll give us the grace of God to do it and do it right. And the Bible said in verse number 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, nevertheless the foundation of God stand the sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He said, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. The Bible said, if a man therefore purge himself, and that word purge means separate himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What a blessing, my friend. Now let's read that verse of scripture again over in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse number 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And the Bible said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he said, thy word is the truth. And I praise God for the word of God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, in John 1 and verse number 17. And I praise God for that. In verse number 14. And so we find, my friend, we are to walk, to honor, and my friend, to sanctify ourselves and to honor God in our temple. And the word honor there means to esteem. It means to regard very highly. It means to give respect. Now, those are worthy of honor. Who are those that are worthy of honor? Let me give you, take just a few moments and show you, my friend, those worthy of honor. Number one, you'll find that God is worthy of honor. Notice, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17, here's what Paul said. He said, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We are to esteem him very highly. We are to, my friend, respect him very highly. Not only is God worthy of our praise, but we'll find that Christ is worthy of our honor. Look, if you will, please, in the book of John chapter number 5, and notice what the Bible has to say in verse number 23, that all men should honor the Son. Praise God for the darling Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as they honor the Father, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Isn't that a blessing to know that? We are to honor God, my friend. We are to honor the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John had something to say about that in the book of Revelation, chapter number 4 and in verse number 11. If you'll notice there, let me read these verses of scripture to you. Revelation, the last book in your Bible, in verse number, let's look at verse number 9. You find the living creatures and elders worship because of creation. Oh yes, we ought to praise him and exalt him and worship him. In verse number 9 of Revelation chapter 4, and when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. He's alive forevermore. Our Savior is alive forevermore. In verse number 10, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, he said, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Isn't that a blessing? Look at chapter number 5 and verse number 2. The Bible said, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the books and to loose the seals? He said, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that is worthy, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that a blessing? Look at verse number 12. Let's look at verse number 11 and verse number 12. The angels exalt the Lord. Oh, my friend, that's a missing ingredient in the house of the Lord. We're not honoring God. We're not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we try to honor ourselves and lift ourselves up. Oh, but John said in John 3 and verse number 30, he must increase, but I must decrease, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible said in verse number 11 and 12 in Revelation 5, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. That's more than a handful. Say amen. And verse number 12 said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. God wants us, as a preacher said, God wants us praising God. God wants us praying, and God wants us, my friend, preaching, and God wants us to praise his holy name, ladies and gentlemen. And so who is worthy to be praised? God is worthy to be praised, and Christ is worthy to be praised. Yes. And then you find the aged are worthy to be praised. Thank God for the old saints of God, the dear saints of God that have paved the way for you and I, that praise the Lord Jesus Christ and loved him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all of their might. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 down through verse number 3, the Bible said this, you find the work of a good minister of Jesus Christ. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Let's don't ever forget about the elderly people. Let's don't ever forget about those that were one time young. As David said in Psalm 37 and verse number 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Listen, David said, the Lord took care of me when I was in danger in my younger days. And then he said, now I'm getting old, and he said, the Lord is taking care of me. I can say I have been young, and I have been young, but I'll be 70 years old the 31st day of August. And I want to say that I got saved when I was 23, and God has taken care of me. God took care of me before I ever got saved, and God has kept keeping me, my friend, by his power and taking care of me. I told you the other night, been pastoring the church for 40 years, only church I've ever pastored, and God has supplied the need abundantly, and God has blessed me and our church and our family. I want to praise God for that. Yeah. And God's not going to fail me, and God's not going to fail you. He cares for you when you're in the valley. He cares for you when you're sick and when you're afflicted. He cares for you when it seems like that God does not care for you, or nobody else cares for you. He cares for you, my friend, when when the people come to church and when they don't. There'll never be a time that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't care for you and I that are saved by the grace of God, catching all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I tell you, the folk in Washington may not care for you and I, but I'm glad, praise God, the one that's higher than those in Washington care for you and I that are saved by the good grace of God. He said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. And that word always means when you can track God and when you can't track God, when you can feel God and when you can't feel God, when you can understand God and when you can't understand God. I'm telling you, praise God, we got a God that never sleeps and He never slumbers, like the preacher said. I'm glad, praise God, when we lay our head on our pillow at night, God sees us, and God's the one that sends the sleep to us. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry, thank God. Somebody said, why do you want to trust God when you can worry? And God has said, why do you want to worry when you can trust me? Say amen.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know I was going to say all that, but I'm glad I did. Oh yes, God will not forsake you. Oh, we just buried one of our older brothers, and I told you that one time this week, maybe twice this week. He'd have been preaching for 40 some years, pastored about 3 different churches, all told about 38 years. And he said to the doctor, if you're going to don't have surgery tonight, you'll be a dead man in the morning. And if you do have surgery, it's a good chance you're not going to come through it. But he came through it. He told the doctor, he said, get your tools and go to work. Amen. He got his tools and went to work, and God let him live for about a week after that. But he said, I'm a winner either way. I'm saved by the good grace of God. He said, if I live, I'm a winner, and if I die, I'm a winner. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? I love that old song, I'm on the winning side. Somebody said, there's something better than being on the winning side. I said, what in the world could that be, Brother James? He said, been on the side that's already won. I'm going to tell you, thank God the Lord is in our tomorrows. I said He's already there. He was with us yesterday. He's with us now. And He'll be with us tomorrow. We may not know what holds tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'm glad He's still in control. I'm glad my God is still has all power in heaven and in earth. And with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah. Yes. Then let me say this. Church officers, my friend, are to be honored. Thank God for the preachers. Thank God for the preachers that will stay by the stuff. Thank God for the preachers that a preacher, as Brother Mays Jackson used to say, get up behind that pulpit, preachers, and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Let God lay a message on your heart. Get behind that pulpit and preach the word of God as it is to men, women, boys, and girls as they are. Praise God. And don't worry about it. Preach it. Pray. You know something? If you remove the initial letter from the word preach, you have the word reach. If you remove the initial letter from the word reach, you have the word each. I'm glad, praise God, this book, my friend, will cover the whole territory. Everyone that listens to it, I'm glad He will speak to people, and they'll either receive it or not receive it, but I'm glad I heard it one day. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm glad as a 23-year-old boy, I repented of my sin. I called upon the holy and the righteous God. I'm glad He came to where I was. I'm glad He had mercy upon me. I'm glad He saved me by His marvelous grace. I'm glad I'm kept by the power of God. Don't have to worry about my friend losing the salvation. The devil didn't give it to me, and the devil can't take it away.
Woo!
That's enough to make a backslid Baptist get right with God and shout.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Look in 1 Timothy 5. And verse number 17, if you will. And the Bible said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, a double portion, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine, preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Hold the word of God. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad the Bible said in 1 Corinthians that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing to know that? I'm glad, praise God, I'm a believer. I'm glad I'm one of them, Brother James, that believe in the death and burial and resurrection of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be glorified. Thank God for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Amen. I'm about to get in the preaching gear now, praise God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ain't he good to us?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Look, if you will, please. In chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Isn't that good to know that, ladies and gentlemen? And so not only, my friend, is God worthy to be praised, Christ is worthy to be praised, the aged are worthy to be praised, the church officers are worthy to be praised, and then let me say that parents are worthy to be praised. In Ephesians chapter number 6, and notice what the Bible says. Here is the problem, one of the problems in our home. Children are not honoring their parents like they should. We're living in a time, my friend. I remember growing up on Daddy's farm at 14 of us children, and Uncle Bob, Grandpa was there, and Aunt Trudy was there, and so we had three big meals. Did you know something? In our days when we was raised up, I tell you, the children didn't run to the table first. I mean, the adults went to the table first, and they sat down, but it's not like that now. The children go to the table first in most places, and the children fill up their plate, and a lot of times they'll go and eat without even asking God's blessing on the food. Oh, let me tell you something, my friend. Let me tell you something. God is still on the throne, and it's still right to honor your parents. I mean, the Bible said in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. Obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Make sure it's in the Lord. Now, a lot of little boys and girls don't have a godly mama and don't have a godly daddy. And though sometimes those ungodly daddies and mothers that are lost unto them without God will, my friend, try to get their children and will get their children to do sinful things, and my friend, that God is not pleased with, because they don't have a mama and they don't have a daddy to teach them and to train them, like Solomon said in Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I never called my daddy old man. He'd have whooped a young man if I'd have called him old man.
Yes, sir.
I never called my mother old lady. What'd you call them? I called them mama and daddy. That's who they were. They're mama and daddy. Woo! Hey, amen. I learned to dance at a very young age. My daddy was very patriotic, brother. He knew how to apply the stripes, and I saw the stars. And now you talking about learning to dance at a young age, in an early age. Praise God, I did. Hey, Brother Oliver Green said, everything is run around the house with a switch except the children. Am I right? Oh, he said, this is right. Honor, children, honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You find that is also recorded in the book of Deuteronomy. You find it is the first commandment with promise in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, You find Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 4. Oliver B. Green is one of my heroes. I never met him in person. I went to his home in South Carolina about 3 or 4 weeks before he died. His wife came to the door, said he's not taking any visitors. But I toured his radio room and his book room there in the tower where I went up to pray. But he said this. He said, I will never live to be an old man. Because, he said, I disobeyed my parents. I robbed from my parents. I sashed my parents. I brought shame to the Green family. He said, I was the black sheep of the Green family. And I'll never live to be an old man. I think he was about 64 years old when he passed away. Now, if you're 70, 64 years old is not a young person. I mean, an old person.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Honor your parents. Did you know the Bible said before honor is humility? In Proverbs 15, verse number 33. Did you know Jesus said a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house? In Matthew 13, verse 57b. Oh, yes. And Paul said in Romans 13, verse number 7, honor to whom honor is due, ladies and gentlemen. And honor the Lord with your vessels, with your bodies. That's the way we're to walk. That's the way that we're to walk. Separated. Wherefore, come out from among them and be a shepherd, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. Let's find out from the Bible who that we're supposed to honor. And if we want to please God, Brother James, if we want to satisfy God, then we're going to have to walk in honoring others. You know something, Brother Steele? When I walk to honor others, when I walk to honor God, then God and others will honor me.
That's it, bro.
I'm not worthy of anything. I ought to be in hell with my back broke. But I'm glad I found out that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, Jesus said, Luke 13, verse number 3, I tell you today, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said in verse number 5, I tell you today, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Yes, sir.
Woo! I found out I'm not going to perish.
Yes, sir.
I want to quote it to you again. Slow down a little bit and quote it. For God so loved the world, humanity and mankind, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what?
Perish.
But have what?
Everlasting
life. Old Brother Mays used to say, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. And just as sure as your name is what it is, you're heaven bound, thank God, with a hammer down. Hallelujah. We're strangers and we're pilgrims a passing through.
Yes.
Friend of mine was buried today. I worked for him for a while. I had his own business. Knew how to invest his money. He went to the same church, was buried at the same church that I got saved in 45 years ago. And he said he was saved and knew he was saved and loved the Lord. But you know something? All of his riches that he had, he left every one of them here.
Yes.
Hey, did you know this? Everything that I have and everything that you have, somebody else is going to own it one of these days.
That's exactly.
It's going to belong to somebody else one of these days. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Ain't that found in James 1:17?
That's it. That's in the book.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We ought to praise him. Amen. We ought to pray.
Yes, sir.
We ought to let him show up, because he showed up when we got saved.
and he's in us, hallelujah. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. Why shouldn't we praise him?
Yes.
Why shouldn't we exalt him? Why shouldn't we honor him? We ought to do that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Whoa. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. So let's walk to honor others. Ye are our epistle, known and read of all men.
Somebody is watching us. Did you know that we influence at least 8 to 10 people every single day of our life? We influence people either for the good or for the bad. Either for Christ or for the world and Satan.
Somebody say amen right there.
Yeah, amen, brother.
Well, number two, in this chapter, we ought to walk not only to honor others, but we ought to walk in holiness. Look at verse number 4. That every one of you, now this is the word honor is in this verse. We'll read again. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, but because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testify, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. That's what the Bible said. Look at verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's the last chapter, verse number 22. Paul said to abstain from all appearance of evil.
Yes.
And evil is all around us. You cannot escape evil. There's only one place that you can escape evil, and you'll go there when you die. Or you'll go there by the rapture.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no evil up there, praise God.
That's it.
Hold on. Why don't you notice, if you will, please? Turn to 1 Corinthians now. I've got to hurry. I guess I've got to hurry. You say, we don't get to hurry tonight. Well, you ain't been in here all the week. All right, that's okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You'll find in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, through 17, you'll find corruption, and then you'll find cleansing, and then, my friend, you will find courage and comfort to go on for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The body is holy, therefore washed and justified. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He asked the question, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible said. I sure am glad it don't stop right there.
Yes, sir, Doc.
I sure am glad it don't stop right
yes,
there,
sir.
Preacher. Woo!
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. You ought to thank God. Paul said in verse number 10 or verse 11, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
He says some of you were. That word were is a past tense word.
Glory.
Yeah, when the devil comes to knocking, and if he answers the door, he'll talk to you.
Yeah.
And when he comes and tries to say, look what you used to be. Look how you used to go. Look where you used to go. Look who you used to run with. But then you can stop and say, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Well, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, and I cannot tell you why, but oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by.
Yeah.
Hey, man, aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad, praise God, there's a difference when Jesus passes by. I said when Jesus passes by, there's a difference. old things to pass, we behold all things are become new.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now get this. I'm still in the Bible. You say, I don't like all that emotional stuff. I bet you do when you watch them soap operas. Bet you ready to get a little bit emotional? I guarantee you do when you go down the ball game, especially if your boys are playing, girls are playing, your grandchildren are playing. You have the ball game. You just let them hit a ball and foul a ball. You come up out of your seat.
Amen.
Right. You're right.
That's all right. Amen.
Yes,
sir. I watch my four grandsons play ball. They get excited.
Yes, sir.
They get excited when they hit the ball.
Yeah.
And when they had a home run, you talk about getting excited. It's about like that can of Mountain Dew you had, but the pot. The top got popped on it, say amen.
Yeah,
he's still good. He said,
Lord.
And such were some of you. He said, but you're washed.
Lord, have mercy.
You're washed. Not in the baptistry, not in the river, not in the pond. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. This day is the message which we have heard of him, declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, God's son, cleanses us from all sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and verse number 7. Woo! You better read Revelation. Praise God, this is Thursday night. I'm going to turn over and read it. I can't go down. I'm going to turn over and read. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. Look what the Bible said. He said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us.
Yeah.
No one ever loved me like Jesus. Is that a blessing from God?
Yes,
no one
sir.
Ever loved me like Jesus. May I put it again? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. Is that John 15, verse number 13?
Yes. Woo!
Right.
Look what he said. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Yes, sir.
I love that song too. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from a man's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lives all but guilty stains. I'm so glad that he saved me. I'm so glad that he washed me. I'm so glad that he cleansed me. Praise God. I'm glad he took out the family of the devil and placed me in the family of the Lord. I'm glad he took out the broad road and put me on the narrow road that leads to life and life everlasting. Aren't you glad, praise God, that you're saved tonight? Aren't you glad Jesus is true? Aren't you glad Jesus is real?
Woo! Glory!
Yeah.
Hey,
hallelujah!
Yes, praise God.
Then he said in verse
hallelujah.
I'm going to shift a few verses, y'all.
Praise God.
Let me shift, brother.
Come on in the house, brother.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Where was I? Who cares?
Praise God. Still in the book.
Verse 13. Meats for the belly, the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both in and thee. Now the body is not for fornication, nor, he says, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. He said, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? He said, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? He asked several questions now. Listen to him. Look what he said. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Would you not? Mm-hmm. Look at me, folks. We knock on doors every week at the Westside Baptist Church. We stand in the Lord's city of Mayadan. We get every house in Mayadan most of the time every year. Mm-hmm. And it probably about a couple years ago, we knocked on doors, and three
different couples that I witnessed to were living in sin, yet they said they were saved and everything was all right. And you did, brother, two of them, you could throw a rock from the church and hit the house they live in. Living in adultery, living in fornication. They call it shacked up and not married. Shacking up with one another. Well, God called it fornication. God called it adultery when you step out on your wife, when you step out on your husband and have a sexual relationship with somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Marriage is honorable and all in the bed is under the Bible. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge in Hebrews chapter 13.
Yes, sir.
Right.
So God is looking for a holy people. And God, Paul was praising that church at Thessalonica. He said, I want to thank God for your holy living. Walk in holiness. You read about in Leviticus chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 14, 15. We have a holy God. We have a holy Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost. We have a holy Bible. And God's looking for a holy people.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with preaching on sanctification and holiness. Then he said this. Not only do I want you to walk to honor others, Paul said, I want you to walk in holiness, holy living. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but I believe we can live above reproach. I talked to a preacher the other night and he said, Brother Paul, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no. He's a good preacher, a good singer, a good piano player. I said, I don't. He said, you came to preach for my daddy in our church when I was about 10 years old, and he's 46 years old now. I said, what's your daddy's name? He told me. He said, my daddy messed up. My daddy messed up. And he said, preacher, I won't never forget you. He's playing that left-handed guitar and singing and was preaching the house down. I said, if there's any preaching the house down, it was God doing. He said, I cannot go the way that my daddy went. And I hope and pray to God, he said, I never go that direction. Are you listening? A man that used to stand, a man that used to preach against every sin that was in the book. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak in Matthew 26:41. Have no confidence in the flesh. It will let you down. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3. Amen. Then he said, I want you to walk. I want you to walk honestly. I want you to walk honestly. Brother James, God bless you and your wife. We're praying for y'all. Thank you for coming. I want you to walk honestly. You know what that word honestly means? It means uprightness. Uprightness. Look at it. And I'm through. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. That's what the Bible says. We need to have a good testimony. And you'll find the signs of a righteous man is found in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, 6 verses in it. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to close. I was in church one night. My father-in-law was there. We were saying church good at that time. And he said, it got on and this man was shouting. He was praising God. And I was enjoying it myself. I'd do some shouting, praising God myself. But after service, I was talking to my father-in-law. He owned a business there in town for 35 years. Stayed with it, didn't even sell out until it was 79 years old, was a mechanic. Welded 4 years during the war in the Norfolk Navy Yard. And then he come back to Pilot Mountain, opened up his own business. I said, what do you think about that man shouting? He said, didn't do nothing for me. I said, why? I thought it still could be. He said, well, probably did to you, but he didn't owe you anything. He said, if he ever comes by my garage and pays me what he's been owed me for several years, I think it's something to his shout. What about that now?
Yes, sir.
Woo! Well, you know something? From there on, every time I would see that man, I would remember what my dad-in-law said about him.
Every time I would hear him shout, I would remember what my father-in-law said about this man. And far as I know, he never did pay him. Never did pay him. God's good, ain't he?
Yes.
Before I went to Medan, my pastor recommended me to go to Medan over 40 years ago to pastor that church. And I didn't know it was some of those men in that church. They came up to where I lived. And they went around to several different places of business and talked to some people. Said, you know Brother Paul says, yeah, we know him. They wanted to find out a little something about me. Maybe that I should have told them, and I didn't tell them. Well, none of us in this building, before we ever got saved, we wouldn't want anybody to put anything on the film that we was guilty of. If it wasn't nothing but stealing a piece of chewing gum.
That's right.
Will you listen to me? Oh, yes, God is good. We don't have to write a bad check on purpose. And if you ever get behind on your bills and you can't pay them, you ought to have enough character about you to go to the person that you owe and explain to them why that you can't. We ought to walk honestly.
Yeah.
Honesty is the best policy. Say amen.
Amen.
I don't care. You can go to Medan, ask anybody in Medan, ask anybody in Madison. See if I owe them. See if me and my wife owe them one penny. And go to the bank when we borrow some money. We don't owe anybody anything now. But you go to the, we do owe just a little bit on a brand new pickup truck. But the reason that I wanted, I could have paid it off. And I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging. We've been saving for a long time to get that new truck for our 50th wedding anniversary.
Yes, sir.
Woo! Man, lifetime! You listen?
Yes.
But you go to any place of business in Medan or Pilot Mountain or Madison, and see if we've ever borrowed any money from anybody that didn't pay it back and pay it back on time. You won't find it. I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you we can live above reproach. We can be honest. We got too many people in our churches today that's not honest. I know. I've had some folk in our church. They're not there now. I've called them on the carpet for it. Listen, you ain't paid that folk. They've called me. You haven't paid your bill. You haven't. You're trying to cheat them out of what you owe. What you owe them. And you need to get it right. Instead of getting it right, they just left. Well, if they're not going to get it right, they ought to leave. He brings a reproach to the church. Man, I should have said all that. Yes, I should have said all that. I'm glad I did. Let's stand up, feet. I'm through preaching. Fiance's coming, going to get a song. Not going to keep him just a few minutes. Turn it back over to the pastor. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. I know we done give one invitation tonight. But maybe God spoke to your heart about something in your life that's not right. Whether it's being to honor others that's worthy of honor, whether it's walking in holiness, or whether it's walking honestly. If God spoke to your heart on those three things, you ought to come tonight. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, have me say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight, either in the message that Brother Steele preached or in the message you just got through preaching. God spoke to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand right now? Something in your life. Thank you. One, two, anybody else? Now, I'm like Brother Tommy, I'm not going to embarrass you, and I'm not going to come to you, and I'm not going to send anybody to you, but how many would say, preacher, I'm in a building tonight, and I have never been saved, and I want you to pray for me that I'll give my heart to Christ. Would you raise your hand right now? Anybody in the building, you're not saved. How many of you know that you're saved? Would you raise your hand? You know you're saved and ready to meet the Lord. God bless you. You may take your hands down, my Father. Lord, I pray for this invitation. Thank you for the word of God. It will not return unto thee void. Lord, I do pray if there's someone in this building, a precious soul that you love, they're not saved. I pray, Lord, they would junk the pride. I pray they would make their way to this altar tonight. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. May they come and get saved tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Brother Billy, what are we singing?
222.
There is a fountain filled with blood. Get your book and help them sing it, will you? There is a fountain. There's help for you. There's hope for you. There's a heaven for you if you'll just come.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
Sing another verse.
The dying,
boy, he got in that day. That fountain in his day, and there beyond no valley sea, washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. And there beyond I see, wash all my sins away. Thank you, preacher. Come on, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Pray for our safety back down the road.